Hi, this is Dawn Marie Roeder, author of the inspirational book, It Doesn't End Here. You can find me and my work at my website, www.itdoesntendhere.com. I'm wondering if you're sure you're getting the right faith nutrients these days. You can be comforted in the knowledge that your faith is well-nourished if you tune into Catholic Vitamins with Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee. Catholic Vitamins, good faith from A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Here we are on Catholic Vitamins, a little bit late. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom. Well, at least we sound better.
I think we do as well, as good as we sound normally. We both sounded like, well, Norman and Nellie Nasal.
That's the way you referred to it to somebody.
It was really something. I probably shared that Dee had a cold a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And then I thought I was skating on that one. I was taking vitamins and vitamin C supplements and all that. And all of a sudden, boom, it hit me.
Well, we're husband and wife. I like to share things.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much. And you didn't actually start sounding better until just very recently. So you had a lot of nasal congestion.
Even when I physically started feeling better, I still sounded nasal for at least a week. So,
well, here we are. We're back, thanks be to God, and it is, I'm going to say, Easter weekend. I'm sorry that we missed publishing our podcast on last weekend. We actually were prepared to bring, for example, our sweet young correspondent in Pennsylvania, Sandy G, who has a reflection on the Passion, a part of the Passion. We were going to bring that to you. We'll still do that in this show this time, but things skated a little bit in our illness.
We apologize that we weren't well enough to get one done last week.
And no more about health, except just to say that no sooner did my cold start to abate and then I had a horrendous allergy attack, I guess the spring.
Oh, the Arizona allergies are acting up big time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have not even said who we are, what we do. Dee.
We are Catholic Vitamins. And today's vitamin is vitamin I for Israel.
Israel. We'll say some words about Israel a little bit later in the early segments of our Catholic Vitamin Show.
And we're up to episode 348, in case somebody thought we were brand new.
When are we going to stop Catholic Vitamins? Well, how far do you think we'll get, Dee, before we pause?
Shall we aim for 500 before we
yikes,
quit, before
really?
We quit?
Let's do 400 and see what happens.
See if we can make it to 400.
Yeah. We've got a lot of things planned for this summer and fall, and so that will certainly affect our production of Catholic Vitamins.
Obviously, when we travel, sometimes we can't get a podcast done because of logistics and things. So, yeah, there'll be a few weeks when you won't hear one.
All right. Well, as we said, this is Catholic Vitamin 348. The vitamin is Israel, the Holy Land,
and who's our guest?
Well, his name is Fran Doering, and no one that we perhaps broadcast to would have any idea who Fran Doering is.
There might be a couple out there.
He is a parishioner at our parish here in North Central Arizona.
So this is another story down the pew.
It is, yes. We share once in a while what we find as we talk with people in the parish or in the church setting, and you never know what you'll run into. And what we ran into is some parishioners who visited the Holy Land. So we'll get to that in a little while. We have gone through a beautiful Holy Week. We had a beautiful Holy Thursday evening. with that beautiful Last Supper Mass, if you will, the Mass of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we had adoration in our parish hall where the Blessed Sacrament was brought. I walked backwards all the way from the steps of the altar all the way back to another building.
You were incensing as you went.
Yes, incensing.
You didn't trip over anything, did you?
A little bit of it was precarious.
Because I was way back in the crowd and I couldn't see you.
Yeah, and after I helped with a bit of cleanup from the Mass that we had done, I took my vestments off and came back and joined you for adoration for a while. It's like...
We didn't stay as long as we normally would have because your allergies were causing you not to feel real great.
We might say that this setting that we have over in the parish hall is maybe not unique to our parish, but they put some plants and shrubs around there, and so it's like entering into the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And spending time in adoration is a way to be with him on Holy Thursday evening. We had Stations of the Cross on, we had morning prayer and rosary, but later in the day we had Stations of the Cross. And then we had a beautiful liturgy in the evening, which included veneration of the cross and dispensing of the Eucharist, which had been prepared and consecrated by the priest the night before. So that's what we've done. And today, Saturday, as we start Catholic Vitamins, we are getting ready in a couple hours to change and do the Easter Vigil. This is the one time I have to smilingly say, this is the one time that the church asked me to sing, but they don't want me to sing very much. I have to carry the Easter candle into the church, mm-hmm, and stop three times and to intone a few words, which the choir, whoever is there working, and the people are supposed to respond to. But as our listeners, the Catholic Vitamins, have heard me say, I've married a lot of young couples, and not one bride has ever asked me to sing for their wedding. All right, we'll be back.
In Israel, a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther.
Okay, we're back, and Dee and I were talking about holy things to do. Dee, you did a holy thing.
Well, we both did.
Well, that's right, yes, but I talked about mine, I think, on an earlier show.
I think you did, too. I made my pustinia.
What is that word, pustinia?
Russian word for desert. I went into the desert for 24 hours.
And what's that like? You go into a...
A sparsely furnished room... Just a bed and a desk and chair and...
The Bible.
Well, yes, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
And...
paper and pen.
Right, if you want to write. And, you know, and just...
Did you have...
And you fast.
Did you have food?
Tea and coffee or water and bread, homemade bread.
Which is very good.
It is. So, but that's all you get. That's all you have.
So you were in there, and what did you do in there in terms of holy activities?
I slept.
That's all right. Yeah.
But you do. You do relax. You get very relaxed. And the Lord's fine with you sleeping if that's what you need. But I was into the Bible. I actually found a small booklet in the desk this time that I was in, and it was... written by some lady about prayer, an hour of prayer, and the way she broke an hour up into five-minute segments.
Oh, yeah.
Each five-minute segment, you prayed for something different, like 5 minutes of praise prayer, 5 minutes of forgiveness prayer, 5 minutes of, you get the idea.
Gratitude, et cetera.
Right. I found it rather interesting.
But has it changed you any, Dee?
The pustinia?
No, when you talk about something like you know, I read something and it was interesting. Did it do anything for you? I mean, that's kind of what I always preach about.
Well, of course it does something for you.
Well, I know, but we're supposed to be changed, you know, at any rate.
Well, I don't look changed, but I could be changed on the inside.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just preaching to my wife, which, by the way, never works. Never works in this world. So,
it's like Jesus trying to preach in his homeland, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of the Holy Land, Dee, our guest is the husband of a husband and wife duo who went to the Holy Land. They went to Israel. And there are so many things to see in Israel, you know, from the Bethany, where the tomb of Lazarus and the home of Martha and Mary is, to Bethlehem, where the Church of the Nativity is, and Church of St. Catherine, excuse me. There's Cana, where Jesus did his first miracle, changing water into wine. And of course, there's Jerusalem, which has many holy sites. I just watched an interesting video. It's almost an hour long, and it's posted on the Facebook site of Denise Bossert. You remember, she used to be a regular contributor on Catholic Vitamins. She's a wonderful author and speaker, and she's written for a lot of diocesan newspapers. And she has done some work representing Israel. And I don't know how to describe her official capacity, but I think she is in part trying to help people to travel to the Holy Land. And the video that I watched was the emergence of light coming out from the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Think about how very small the burial place of Christ was, and it is very small. It is accessible, but what they do is they will start a fire inside, and out comes this cleric who brings this new light out into the gathered area outside. And there are thousands of people outside, and this new light is passed to all of them, and they have candles. I found this on Denise Bossert's site, and it's very reminiscent of what happens in the Easter Vigil ceremony at our parishes when the priest and the congregation start a new Easter light. The Easter candle is lit. I'll be carrying that. And then that Easter candle is used to light the candles of all the people, and that we process into the church. It's just very beautiful, and it's representative of the message that Christ is the light of the world. So there's lots of other things in Israel, and our friends are not professional travelers. I mean, they've done a lot of travel, but they're not professional speakers, and they're not representatives of travel to Israel, but it just seemed like it might be interesting to meet with them and to talk a little bit. Turns out we were only able to schedule this with Fran, the husband. But after a short break, we'll come back with our brief interview with our guest.
Hi, this is Denise Bossert, and there are more Catholic Vitamins to come with Deacon Tom and Dee. So stay tuned and visit me at catholicbygrace.blogspot.com.
Here we are on Catholic Vitamins. Our vitamin today is Israel. Yes. A great Irish priest friend of ours told us that one of the gifts of his mother was that she educated him on how the Catholic faith is grafted onto the Jewish faith practice. And so when I found out that one of our parishioner couples, Fran and Sandy Doring, went to the Holy Land, they were gone for a couple of weeks, noticeable by their not being around us, but all of a sudden they're back. And I asked the couple if we could do a short interview to talk about what it's like to go to the Holy Land. Sandy is away doing work as a grandmother, but I'm here with Fran Doring. We're in one of our classrooms in the parish hall. Fran, welcome to Catholic Vitamins, our program.
Thank you, Deacon.
Yeah, so good to have you here. So how long was your trip? And let's get started with some of the sites that you saw.
Well, our trip was 2 weeks long. We flew into Tel Aviv after a 14-hour flight, which is kind of long.
Yeah.
And stayed in Tel Aviv that night, and the next day we headed out along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean up to Caesarea was our first stop, and saw a number of Roman sites there, and then up along the coast to a town called Acre, where the Crusaders had there, when they invaded the Holy Land, the French had built a large church and everything there. We got to see all that, which was all intact because it had been full of dirt and was just discovered in 1947. And from there, we went on to Nazareth and to the Church of the Annunciation, and which is built over the cave where Mary supposedly lived when the angel brought her the good news that she was to be the mother of Jesus. And we toured that. And from there, we that evening, we stayed in a hotel in Tiberias.
So what was it like going there to the Holy Land? I mean, did you feel safe?
Oh, it was fantastic. You actually see the faith, live the faith that you have. I mean, all these places are just awesome, really.
Yeah. So one of the things that you told me about, I know we'll get to it, is the experience of the Dead Sea, but pick up on where you got started after you were...
Okay, the second day, first place we went was to Cana, the... and the church, or the first miracle of Jesus, where he changed water into wine. And then we went from there to the Mount of Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, which is up above the dead, Sea of Galilee, and beautiful sight. They have a real nice little chapel and church built up there.
This would be the place where Jesus may have sat and actually spoke the Beatitudes?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's got a real good amphitheater-like sound there.
Mm.
It's really kind of a neat place, and they just figured that would had to be the spot. And then we went down to Capernaum, which is close by, maybe 5 miles away, back down right along the Sea of Galilee. And we saw the house that supposedly they say was St. Peter's house, and right next to it there was a synagogue that still had the walls and everything up from that era, and they think Jesus may have preached or spoke in that synagogue.
Oh my. So you mentioned the Sea of Galilee, and you also told us about the Dead Sea. I'm sort of probably jumping around to your itinerary. Tell us what it was like going in the Dead Sea.
Well, the Dead Sea is awesome, too. You just lay down and you float around. You can hold your hands up and feet up, and you don't have to paddle or anything. It's just like you see it in the other movies. The fact is, it's harder to get back up because you're so buoyant.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get your feet back down and stand up again.
Wow. So this salt in the water or the whatever
the
it is?
Salt is, it's like 32 to 33% minerals, and most of it is salt. The fact is, after you get out of there, you're not supposed to stay in more than 15 minutes.
Oh.
And you get out of there, then you shower and everything and try to wash all that salt and stuff off of you. And they said to wear sandals, so I had taken some sandals along, and because it's rocky. And when I got home, my sandals—they were actually like wet shoes, and they were all full of salt yet. So they were real stiff. I had to wash them out at home again.
Oh wow! You also went in the Jordan, the River Jordan, huh?
Yes, we crossed the Sea of Galilee. After we had been to Capernaum there, across the Sea of Galilee to a restaurant. And then from there, we went up on the Golan Heights and then down to the Jordan River and rededicated baptism in the Jordan River where Jesus had been baptized.
Amen, amen. How beautiful is that?
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time during this interview, but you went to Jerusalem. Tell us some of the sites that you saw in Jerusalem.
Okay, we went up on the Mount of Olives the first morning because it overlooks the whole city of Jerusalem, and the old city of Jerusalem is right in front of you. And between the old city and the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. So that's where we went next. And there's a church there. There's actually some olive trees that they think that was there when Jesus was there in the garden. And then there, in that church, there's a large flat rock about, I'd say maybe 12 by 12. It's in that church that they think is the rock that Jesus prayed on the night in his agony in the garden.
Oh my, how beautiful is that?
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
So did you get to walk along the roadway or the pathway that Jesus might have taken as he went up to Golgotha?
The Via Della Rosa?
Yes,
we did. Yeah, we walked all along that. Getting back just real quick to the garden there, we went to another church that they think where Jesus went from the garden all the way up the high priest's house was supposedly in that area, and the path that he supposedly took for that was right there too. So that was real interesting. And then, yes, we went to the Via Della Rosa, walked all along that with the Stations of the Cross by each one of them, where they're supposed to be in.
So what are the remnants of the place where Jesus died?
Where he died, there was an altar built in the church there, and underneath that there was an actual hole that they claimed that was where the cross was on Golgotha.
Oh.
It was
very moving, I'm sure.
Very moving, yes.
Yeah.
And then they actually had they said it wasn't the actual stone, but there was a slab there like where they prepared his body for the tomb also.
Oh. Were you able to get to where the tomb was?
Well, we got to where the tomb was, actually went into the tomb. They let us go into the tomb, had our picture taken by it and everything. So, yeah.
So overall, I know we probably have skipped a lot of the booklet that you brought with you to talk about this, but overall, what was this like?
It was awesome, I guess. I would say, because we got to see where Jesus was born, the manger where he laid. The manger is a stone manger, though, and I was a little disappointed in that, but after reading about it, that's actually what most of them were. They were stone mangers.
I see.
Rather than wooden ones.
Okay.
Like we depict. And so we got to see all of that, and the old city of Jerusalem, and everything was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. If anybody gets a chance, a lot of people maybe don't go because they don't think it's safe, but we saw very few police. And the only time we saw a lot was when we were in the Palestinian area, like Bethlehem is now Palestinian. And then in Old Jerusalem, where by the Wailing Wall, of course, that's the Dome of the Rock now, which is a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were waiting to go up there, there was a Palestinian with machine guns and stuff, but it's very safe there. They told us we could walk out on the street, and even women could walk out at night when you're in your from your hotels.
Mm. Well, you know, I guess a lot of the livelihood for the area, a lot of tourist dollars come in there, so they wouldn't want to disrupt that.
Right,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, well, I know that you came back and you were pretty inspired by this trip.
Very. It was number one on our bucket list.
There you go. Our guest on this segment of Catholic Vitamins is Fran Doering, a parishioner. You know, we often bring you stories from down the pew, and when we heard that these folks were going there and got back safely, we decided that we wanted to spend a little bit of time with them. Any closing thoughts about the Holy Land or the trip?
Only if you get a chance, go, because it's just wonderful. You just see all these things that you read about in the Bible, and it's, you live your faith, I guess, is what it amounts to, and very moving.
Thank you, friend Doring, for coming on our show. There you go, Dee, a little visit to the Holy Land from down the pew, so to speak. One of our parishioners, he and his wife really enjoyed it, and they recommend going to the Holy Land.
Well, since we're talking about places far away.
Yes.
We heard from a listener who we've heard from many times before, but we hadn't heard from him in a while, David over in Taiwan.
My goodness, we have listeners in Taiwan?
Yes. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, just a quick note to let you know I've been catching up on your vitamins this Lenten season. I had gotten behind and didn't realize how much I needed your nourishment until I started listening again. It seems every program is exactly tuned to what I need. I would love to get my hands on that Matthew Kelly book you introduced.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Prayers and blessings from Taiwan. I ask your prayers for my confirmation class. We are in the final weeks of preparation. A mix of students this year coming from Singapore, USA, Switzerland, Philippines, and Australia. Blessings,
all right.
David.
Thank you, David. Good to hear from you for sure. And to think that our little effort reaches to places like Taiwan and
Italy,
United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
Lisa Mladnik was the speaker last Saturday, so says Risa in Pennsylvania, at the Greensburg Magnificat breakfast. I told her I had to send Deacon Tom and Dee
a picture, since that is where I first heard her.
Isn't that neat? Thank you.
She heard about Lisa on our show.
She sent a picture of the two of them together.
She
Thank
did.
You for that.
Whoa, what happened to your voice? Anyhow, we also heard from Deacon Don. Our friend Deacon Don up in Colorado. Blessings this Holy Week. Can it get any busier? Patience, I pray for.
He says they're baptizing 8 in his parish Easter Vigil. We're bringing 4 adults into the church. One couple has 3 children who are part of the 8. Isn't that beautiful? They've been wanting to join the Catholic Church for several years, ever since their first visit to Combermere, which is the home of Madonna House, and they were there 3 years ago.
Yeah, when he heard about Combermere, he thought we'd like hearing about that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus, for the Eucharist, so says Deacon Don.
Missed you, Deacon Don and Betty.
In Colorado. And speaking of faraway places.
And speaking of the Holy Land, as we've been doing, I'm just going to put another plug in for the Christmas in Holy Land pilgrimage, which is November 28th to December 7th. And there'll be concerts with Anna Nuzzo in Bethlehem and Nazareth.
How beautiful. Now, Anna Nuzzo has been a guest on Catholic Vitamins. Anna Nuzzo has done some promotional work for our Catholic radio station here in North Central Arizona.
And she had asked us before if we'd put this plug in for her. So if you want more information, you can go to www.annanuzzo.com.
Annanuzzo.com. There you go. All right. Well, I want to just repeat one time for our listeners that we have a special friend, Sandy G. from back in Pennsylvania, who has decided that she would like to overcome a cross that she's carrying. She has Lou Gehrig's disease, and she has lost her speaking ability, but she is able to use a speaking machine that she has. I guess it's a computer of sorts, which allows her to put her thoughts, her reflections, into this computer and to generate a voice, which she can modulate a little bit. And it sounds very nice, and we're able to catch some of her thoughts and reflections. So even though this is a week old, we'd like to bring our special correspondent from Pennsylvania, Sandy G., to share with us some thoughts related to the Passion.
If the governor of Judea had known what was in store for him that awful day, he would have gone back to bed and pulled the covers tightly around his head. Even those who like a good challenge would have run away from this event. Did he feel a knot in the pit of his stomach? Did he have a premonition that he was about to make a decision that would affect the lives of every person in every age to come? No. It probably was like any other day for Pontius Pilate until he arrived at the Praetorium. That morning he was greeted by an angry mob who had with them a man that appeared calm, almost peaceful. But how could he be, with all this bloodthirsty crowd? And then the trial began. Pilate learned that the man's name was Jesus. After that, he had trouble piecing this story together. But one thing for sure, the crowd wanted him dead. I'm going to call for a sidebar here. The next day was the Feast of Passover, and the Jewish leaders wouldn't enter the Praetorium because it was a place occupied by Gentiles. They wanted to remain ritually clean so they could eat the Passover meal. Their conduct could only be described as paradoxical. They wanted Jesus murdered, but they also wanted to remain ritually clean? No wonder Pilate was confused. And so the trial continues. We will discover that as testimony unfolds, that this man Jesus isn't the only defendant on trial. Pilate was as much on trial as Jesus was. He had a decision to make, and his indecisiveness seemed to fuel the crowd's fury. Crucify him. Crucify him. They shouted. Pilate had to choose between life and death. Lightness and darkness. He chose death and darkness. Crucify him. Crucify him. We too make decisions every day that affect our lives and those around us. We choose life or death. Lightness or darkness. You see, my brothers and sisters, we too were on trial that awful day. Innocent blood was spilled on our behalf. And as sin continues to reign, we will hear the voices of the angry crowd echoing throughout the ages. Crucify them. Crucify them.
We're back from the reflection by Sandy G. in Pennsylvania. Thank you for that, and thank you for your participation, your sharing in Catholic Vitamins. Dee, we are in our wrap-up segment of Catholic Vitamins. We have a little bit of work to do, but before we get into our wrap-up work, one of the gifts that Catholic Vitamins has had, I mean, from my perspective, I hope for some of our listeners as well, is that we used to have continuing participation from a publishing pooba, as I call her, Cheryl Deco. She has great awareness, knowledge of the grafting of the Catholic faith onto the Jewish roots that we have. And she has a company that she's the publisher of, the CEO of. It's called Bezalel Books, B-E-Z-A-L-E-L, books.com. And you can find her writing there along with several other authors, some of whom we've had on Catholic Vitamins in the past.
Did you mention her name?
Cheryl Deco, yeah, okay. I did. I think I did. D-I-C-K-O-W, Cheryl Deco.
Cheryl was a C.
Yeah, and I just want to say once again that she writes about lovingly about our connection with the Jewish faith. And so you might like to consider one or more of her books. All right. Well, speaking of books. Yes.
What a nice segue that was.
We are doing...
Hot off the presses.
Yes. Oh, this book is hot. Wow. we have two books, one of which you are eligible to get at no cost, sent to you through the unpaid overhead of Catholic Vitamins. That means that this is a nonprofit effort that we're doing. So one of these two books can be yours by sending an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. The first book is A Priest Answers 27 Questions You Never Thought to Ask by Father Michael Kerper, K-E-R-P-E-R. This is published by the good folks at Sophia Institute Press. And, you know, a couple examples of the questions. Do ghosts really exist? Do I have to give money to every beggar who comes along? And is it okay to be cremated? Now, I've just preached about that in our parish, and I just had a little mini session with one of our elders in the parish who was sort of harumphing about the church's teaching about not being cremated, or at least having your body brought in for a funeral service before you're cremated. All right. So a priest answers 27 questions you never thought to ask.
And the other book, which I have in my hand, is Resisting Happiness by Matthew Kelly of the Dynamic Catholic Organization. This subtitle here is A True Story About Why We Sabotage Ourselves, Feel Overwhelmed, Set Aside Our Dreams, and Lack the Courage to Simply Be Ourselves. How to start choosing happiness again. And we know that Matthew Kelly is such a wonderful author.
All right. Well, we have gifts that we offer regularly. One of the gifts we offer is, from time to time, that is, if you guess the correct vitamin, and we always tease for the next vitamin. Sometimes you have a week, sometimes you have 2 weeks. If you're listening 2 months later, sorry, it's probably all too late. But
the next vitamin will be Catholic Vitamin J. Ends in G, 10 letters.
Wow.
A little bit of a long word.
All right. Now
J, starts with J, ends in G, 10 letters. Send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Why do we have Catholic Vitamins? It's to help inspire, nourish your faith, as it were, from A to Z. This has been vitamin I with the theme of Israel. If you would like to go to Emmaus, where Jesus revealed himself after his resurrection, if you'd like to go to the tomb of Lazarus in the home of Martha and Mary, if you'd like to go to Bethlehem, the Church of the Nativity, the Church of St. Catherine, or Cana, where Jesus did his first miracle, and obviously to Jerusalem, the Holy Land is safe. And it is a great gift to our faith to be able to go there. So, Catholic Vitamins, A to Z, and the next vitamin is
J.
We hope you'll join us.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.